Welcome to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping Orange County, with your host, Don Camber.
Hello, I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Don Camber with another great guest impacting our community in a positive way. Today, I welcome Caregiver Resource Center OC Executive Director Jack Light. The not-for-profit agency helps Orange County families master the challenges of caring for a frail adult over the age of 60 or care for an adult who has brain-impairing conditions, including Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, ALS, and traumatic brain injury. It's sponsored by the St. Jude Medical Center and is funded in part through a grant from the California Department of Aging, as allocated by the Orange County Board of Supervisors through the OC Office on Aging. The Caregiver Resource Center OC is part of a statewide system of caregiver resource centers contracted through the California Department of Health Care Services. Thank you, Jack, for being on Impact OC.
You're welcome, and thank you for naming all our sponsors. I just want to assure everybody that we're not some big governmental entity, that we are a small nonprofit here in Orange County, sponsored by Providence St. Jude Medical Center. And we do help family caregivers, not the paid caregivers, but family caregivers. Really, what I hope the takeaway from today will be is that there are not only my organization, but other organizations which we can help families connect with who are caring for a loved one who may have Alzheimer's or dementia. Primarily, our services are for adult family caregivers, and they come in all ages. Some are the quote-unquote millennials, and others are spouses of their loved ones who happen to be suffering from or having memory impairments, anything from Alzheimer's to Parkinson's or Huntington's disease, ALS, or have had a traumatic brain injury. Our services are free. That's another great takeaway, and that we are not means tested. And that's just a fancy way of saying that you don't have to have a certain income to qualify for our services. Obviously, we accept any contributions as a nonprofit. Part of how we function is through collecting just information, demographic data, so that we continue to improve our efforts in helping those in need. So primarily, you know, the best way to get in touch with us is to go to our website, which is caregiveroc.org, and there you'll find a lot of information about what we have to offer. And again, those services are free. Or you can call our offices and our number's there, but if you have a pencil handy, it's 714-446-5030. But again, I encourage everybody to look to our website at caregiveroc.org.
How should caregivers approach their duties?
Well, there are a lot of moving parts, as especially for a caregiver listening in and you're caring for a loved one. First and foremost is some people don't even know that they're caregiving. I know that I've talked to a lot of folks that are working with their loved ones behind the scenes, arranging, helping them with their finances, delivering them meals every couple of days, or just calling in to check on them because they understand that they're frail. They're actually entering that phase of caregiving. First and foremost, you know, communication. I think a lot of times caregivers tend to not communicate their needs or take care of themselves. We're one of the few organizations, we've been serving Orange County since 1989, fully dedicated towards caregivers, and we address their needs and their wellness because they're so busy caring for their loved ones that I think they forget to care for themselves. So that's one of the first things that we point out to them, is that they're spending a lot of time and effort on their loved one when they should be spending as much time and effort on their own wellness, because you're only going to be the best caregiver, the best version of yourself, if you yourself are well and you yourself are practicing a lot of the wellness behaviors, such as going to your doctor, meeting your appointments, eating well, maintaining your diet, and having that time off for yourself. And then understanding that you are a caregiver. Most people don't understand that they've kind of fallen into that, or they feel it's an obligation. And it's a wonderful opportunity to give back to somebody, but it doesn't always have to come at a big sacrifice.
Explain what it's like to be a caregiver to a parent, because it's your parent and you don't want to parent your parent, but by the same token, you want to have respect for that parent.
Yes, you know, maintaining everybody's dignity in this kind of relationship is very, very important. And again, it's the motivation behind it. It's a very dynamic relationship that you have with either your parent or an aunt or an uncle, or just even a neighbor that you have deemed to be a family member. And maintaining that person's dignity. And obviously when somebody has a cognitive impairment, and they may not be able to communicate their needs that well. You know, one is understanding the impairment itself, what the person can and can't do, so that's part of it, but not overemphasizing that. Example I can give is when a loved one has Alzheimer's or dementia, they're obviously not the same person or not functioning the same way that they would have when they had all their faculties with them. But now that they're impaired, the important thing is to address behaviors and understand how best to address those behaviors. And we provide workshops that talk about real practical things, like you don't argue, you try and redirect, you don't get into involved conversations. And then that this understanding that it's not the same person processing the information like they used to. So, you know, it's not a matter of parenting your parent, but it's just meeting those needs of someone in the most respectful way possible. And there's no, you know, I want to give everybody has the opportunity to figure out their own way. And that's where we come in. We come in with professional staff that walk with what we say, the analogy is we walk with people through that journey side by side, because there is no one size fits it all. There's a lot of dynamics, and there's, again, the communication piece. Sometimes people feel like, caregiver feel like, I'm the only person that can do this, whereas they need to probably explore what other resources they have, whether it be other friends or family that can share some of that burden, even though it'll be primarily theirs. And it's not always a burden, it's a challenge. I mean, it's just trying to do something, another part of life that is part of being a family. And so I think that more people normalize it and feel like, yeah, I'm not really a caregiver, but they are, because they are starting to move in that direction.
What are some of the services you provide?
Well, we provide things. We do individual counseling. We provide support groups. We also do educational workshops. We sponsor with some other community-based organizations in the area here, legal workshops. We provide support groups, which I already mentioned. And then we also provide opportunities to get respite. And we have some grant funding that allows caregivers to experience what it's like to purchase certain services or certain goods, like durable medical equipment on behalf of their loved one, so that when it comes down to deciding what resources they have, they can make better decisions about that. Because in the world, the way things are right now, like education about Medicare, is one of the things that we help people with discussing. You know, we can refer them to workshops that are recurring throughout Orange County. We're part of a collaborative of about 43 nonprofits called the Orange County Adult Services Collaborative. And that's a group of about 43 different nonprofits that work with agencies that address issues of older adults. We join that coalition because we address the issues of the caregivers, so there's a nice marriage there. But between these 43, and then there are even more organizations out there, we would be able to redirect people to the services that maybe they would want for their loved ones. But for our programs, it's that. It's those supportive services, some real tangible grants that can purchase other goods and services, and then just being a resource in general for all these other wonderful organizations that we have the pleasure of being able to serve Orange County with.
Do medical facilities refer people to you?
Yeah, we get referrals from the community. We get referrals from neighbors and friends. We get case managers at hospitals, discharge planners, other social workers in these community-based organizations in the community, physicians' offices. It's just a matter of the person being motivated. There's an old joke in mental health or behavioral health or social work, whatever you're in, but how many therapists does it take to change a light bulb? Well, you know, the light bulb has to want to change. And so that's the approach we take. We try and encourage caregivers to give us a call and to engage us directly so that we can work with them one-on-one. We tend not to, we encourage referrals, but we also encourage people to look us up on our website and talk to the caregiver one-on-one.
How would you like people to view caregiving?
Oh, it's an opportunity, obviously. It's a great opportunity to give back to someone that you care for. You know, people talk about the burdens of caregiving or the challenges of caregiving. It's an opportunity to give back, and I think people look at it that way. Other people look at it as an obligation. Like I said, it's normalized. It's part of being, you know, a family member. But I look at it, it's an honor to be able to serve a loved one that has probably served you through their lives. And it's a time to be reflective, because at some point, if you're not going to be a caregiver, you may be a caregiver yourself, or you may need a caregiver.
Yeah.
You may need a caregiver. That kind of reflection comes when you're actually providing care for somebody.
Do you have caregivers that are really young? Can you give us the demographics of typical caregivers?
Sure. The trends now are that more caregivers are still in the workforce. A loss. We have a millennial group, and I always smile when I say that because I'm not quite sure what age that is anymore. I'm a baby boomer, I guess, and so there are millennials out there that are going to college or are early in their careers caring for an aunt or an uncle or even their parents that are suffering from Alzheimer's or dementia or ALS or Parkinson's or something of that nature. And then we have the octogenarian couples, you know, the older adults that are one spouse is caring for another. And the important thing as a caregiver is you're only going to be as good a caregiver as you care for yourself. So we encourage caregivers to always take time out for themselves to make sure that they're making their doctor's appointments, that they're eating healthy, that they're taking time to rest and reflect and recharge so that they can give the best of themselves in their caregiving situation.
Are the services offered virtually?
Yes. We have a telehealth model. That's a great question. We do things virtually. We also come to your home and do an assessment there if you like. But it is, a lot of our programs are telehealth model. A lot of our, we still try and reach out to people face to face when needed. And again, it's really tailored to the caregiver. So the caregivers can actually go to our site. We're working on it and do a little assessment to find out, you know, and then reach out to us so that they can see how they're doing, kind of a self-assessment. They can reach out to us that way, too.
What are some of the biggest misconceptions people have about caregiving?
I think it's what we just talked about, that it's just something to be feared or something that's challenging or a burden. I think that the biggest misconception about caregiving is that it's always going to be difficult. It is definitely something that you have to plan for. And if you didn't plan for it, yes, there can be challenges, but they can be overcome. The biggest misconception is that I have to do it alone or that nobody really knows my situation well enough to help me or I'm the only one that can really do it right, which in some cases, I don't want to discredit that, but I just want to say that there are organizations out there, and ours is one of them. It may not be the one for the person, but we're obviously a start. But you can find, I'm very confident, especially in my colleagues and the other community-based organizations with which we interact, that there's an organization out there that will help you and do so at no cost for the most part. So that's the big misconception, that there's not help for caregivers out there. There is help, and we're here to serve.
So what happens? Someone contacts your organization, then what?
When they contact our organization, we'll talk to them, discuss their needs. Obviously, because we have government funding, we do have to collect some demographic information to start with. And then after that, it's just basically trying to tailor whether or not we're the appropriate agency to work with them. Even before we even collect that demographic, we just make sure that we're the right organization that can help them. And if we're not, we can point them in the right direction and make sure that they get connected with who they need to. So it's just as simple as that, making that first phone call, sending us a message through an email that they can put through our website, and we would just go from there. And again, our services are free. You don't have to give us any, we don't take any financial information that would ask you as to whether or not that would qualify you for our program. So that's all off the table. It's just a matter of having that first conversation.
Give us the website again, please.
Sure. It's caregiveroc.org, and the www in front of that. And again, it's as easy as just looking at that, seeing if it's for you. And then again, you know, it's always worth giving us a call, because if we're not the organization that can help you, we might be able to point you in the right direction.
Thank you, Caregiver Resource Center OC Executive Director Jack Light, for being on Impact OC. And I thank everyone for tuning in. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Dawn Camber. Have an impactful day.
Thank you, Dawn.
You've been listening to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping our community. Right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio.